A reading from Luke 1, 46 through 55. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he has looked with favor on the humble condition of his servant. Surely, from now on all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and his name is holy. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. He has done a mighty deed with his arm. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering his mercy to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he spoke to our ancestors. This is the gospel of grace.
Luke 1. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." This is the gospel of grace.
The black writer Bell Hooks once wrote an essay titled "Home Place," in which she described the meaning of the feeling she had as she walked through her mostly white, segregated southern town to get to the security of her grandmother Belle Blair's home. "Oh, that feeling," she wrote, "of safety, of arrival, of homecoming. When we finally reached the edges of her yard, when we could see the soot-black face of our grandfather, Daddy Gus, sitting in his chair on the porch, smell his cigar, and rest on his lap. Such a contrast, that feeling of arrival, of homecoming, this sweetness and the bitterness of that journey." I read those words and I think immediately of Mary's journey. The long and complicated road that took her from her hometown in Nazareth in Galilee to the home of her relative, some traditions say cousin, others say aunt, Elizabeth, who lived somewhere in the hill country of Judea. I think of this young girl, probably no more than 14 or 15 years of age, pregnant before marriage, poor before birth. What was life like for her? How hard it must have been. How desperate she must have felt. Poor and desperate and distressed enough to make that many days' journey all the way from her home to Elizabeth's home place, The place where bell hooks says one could freely confront the issue of humanization. And a child or a family or community could be affirmed in minds and hearts despite poverty, hardship, and deprivation, where they could restore to themselves the dignity denied them on the outside in the public world. This was Mary's story, and it was Elizabeth's house. In our family, Elizabeth's house was Aunt Mary's house. Mary Waddell was my grandfather Fred's aunt, but because grandmother Patsy and grandmother Ray both had problems, Aunt Mary was not only aunt, but also cousin and mother and grandmother to us all. She lived just up the hill from the bus station in Clinton, Arkansas, where grandfather Fred grew up and came back after he and grandmother Patsy split up. And he took their two children and her child from a previous relationship back to be with him up in the Ozarks. My mother was that child from the previous relationship. And from about the age of 5 to about the age of 7, my mother and her two younger siblings lived up the hill in Clinton, just next door to the home of Aunt Mary and Uncle L.N. Aunt Mary and Uncle L.N. were Methodist by denomination and Christian by conscience. Their home was a sanctuary. Their cupboard was communal. And their witness was quiet but eternal. When I think of Aunt Mary, I think of that great quote from the other great oak of a woman from Arkansas, Maya Angelou, who said, "They may not remember what you say, they may not even remember what you did, but they will always remember how it was that you made them feel." Aunt Mary always made us all feel so safe and so loved. When we drove up from Lubbock, we'd pass by the bus station and the Ozark Cafe, go up that big hill from downtown and pull in way past dark. Aunt Mary would come out of the house, pinch me on the cheeks, kiss my lips, and look at me with those big, soft, unforgettable blue eyes. In the morning, she'd cook hotcakes. At home, we had pancakes, but at Aunt Mary's, we had hotcakes. Hotcakes were always so much better than pancakes. She also had sweet tea, which someone finally got smart enough to bring to Texas. In the evening, Aunt Mary would sit down and read her little upper room devotional. And on Saturday nights, she'd study her lesson for Sunday school the next morning. If there were anything of the love of God, if there were anything of the love of God that my mother or I or any of the rest of our family ever knew, we knew it first and most deeply from Aunt Mary. I don't really remember what she said or what she did, but I remember how she made me feel, how she made me always feel so full of the love of God. Actually, I do remember one thing Aunt Mary said. When I was wrestling with my call to ministry and running from the church as fast as I could, Aunt Mary told my mother, "The old devil's after him." I rolled my eyes, but Aunt Mary prayed, and I did surrender. The old devil didn't mess around with Aunt Mary. Aunt Mary's house was a home place, if there ever were one. And anytime someone was homeless or jobless or just gotten out of jail or just got pregnant without a nuptial or just felt despondent or down and couldn't see a way out or a way forward, it was off to Aunt Mary's and up that great big hill that we would go. Aunt Mary's house was our home place. It was our sanctuary. It was our very present help in times of trouble, and it was our peace of heaven here on this earth. People ask me what we should do now in times like these. My answer has been in recent weeks, coming from the book of Jeremiah, build houses, he said. Build houses. Build houses like Aunt Mary's and Elizabeth's. Build home places like Bell Hooks, grandmother Bell Blair's. Build the sanctuaries where people can know that they are loved and cared for and honored and treated with all of the respect and dignity that they deserve. This is how we resist in a world that wants to grind us down, tear us apart, make us feel ugly and shameful and worthless and no good. We build houses where the love of God is put into practice and the Christ in everyone is welcomed and affirmed. The home is a temple. The home is a temple, and we build it and make it holy with our love. I think this is something that old people can give to young people. Elizabeth was old, Mary was young. Young people can't much afford to buy or build houses or even hardly rent apartments. But old people can make their houses and even their apartments into homes. They can make them into home places and into temples. And men can be part of it also. Bell Hooks talks about the home place being mostly the place of women. That's because for most of history, women didn't have anywhere else but their homes. But even at Bell Blair's, Daddy Gus was there. And the Bible says Mary went to the home of both Zechariah and also Elizabeth. And Aunt Mary's house wouldn't have been Aunt Mary's house had Uncle L.N. been cold or cruel or unkind. Old men can build houses, old women too. Young people can find their refuge there. They can find God there. They can find God in themselves there in that temple. This is what I love most about the story of what happens in Elizabeth's house. As soon as Mary walks up the hill and into the house, Elizabeth hears her voice And she says, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. In other words, in my interpretation, a beautiful young woman you are. And beautiful is what is inside of you. You can imagine how that must have made Mary feel. Pregnant and unmarried as she was, in that moment she was made to believe in the goodness inside of her. Elizabeth helped Mary see the beauty of Christ that was inside of her. Young people need Elizabeths in their lives. They need people like Elizabeth and places like hers also. They need home places where they can be blessed and told that they are beautiful. They need temples where they can discover and believe that they are temples also. Aunt Mary's house was that home place for me and for my mother and for so many in our family. Our holy temple, just up the hill. No, I can't remember all that Mary said or did, but I can remember how she made me feel. I remember how she made me feel so loved by her, by Uncle L.N., and most of all, by God. I want to be like Aunt Mary when I grow up. And I want to build a house like hers too. I want to build a house where people know that they are loved. I want to build a home place where everyone who enters can discover that they too are blessed and beautiful, temples of God with Christ within. May it be so. May we all seek to build houses and temples and sanctuaries just like my Aunt Mary's house. In the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God and mother of us all, together, all of God's people do say, amen.